I know what it is like to deal with chronic pain. And I think it's also what really shaped me teaching yoga was not being able to have your full range of motion. And that's what I see in my work with athletes a lot.
Welcome to the Super Sports Mom Podcast, a place for all moms of mini and mighty athletes to get support and insights into the world of sports. This is your place to learn, grow, and laugh. I am a sports dietitian, former elite athlete, and newbie sports mom, inviting you to adventure together. This podcast is sponsored by Eat This for Performance, the home of champions. Hello, and welcome to episode 18 of the SSM podcast. I am really pleased to have you here today. This episode is a game changer for many. It has been a game changer for many and will be a game changer for you if you have not explored yet the incredible benefits of yoga for sport. Now, we're not saying today that everybody needs to do yoga to be good at their sport, but we are going to highlight why you need to look twice at this practice if you are, especially if you are looking to play in high-level elite athletics or if you're already there. So today I interview yoga expert and the owner of Yoga for Hockey, Julie Felbar. I'm interviewing her from Montreal, Canada, but she is located in Austria. So I'm really excited that we're going overseas today. And I want you to know that the clip I played in the beginning was a little piece that's setting the stage for what is important about yoga, but we're going to delve in deep today. There are different types of yoga. You need to know that. Not all yoga is the same, so you're going to learn about the types of yoga. We're going to share with you two qualities of a sports yoga specialist that you will want to look for when searching for your yoga specialist. And finally, two ways that you, the athlete, can use yoga. So it's not only about the physical body, I want you to know that. There's a lot of mindset work that goes into using yoga, and we are going to walk you through a little bit of that here. So it all started with an injury for Julie, and through this injury, Julie Felbar finds yoga. In this interview, we're going to go in depth on why it's important that you should not wait until you are injured to take action. Learn from us. Injuries happen when you don't take care of your body, and we have some new science to share with you that could help you take care of your body better. So here at Eat This for Performance, we're talking the nutrition side of it. So we want you to know that we're supporting both your functional training, like doing something like yoga, and in the nutrition capacity. So you can actually grab our latest course if you hop on over to et4p.com/gelatin-course. We do have a mini course that goes really well with our message today, and that is all about how to use gelatin to help you prevent injury. We purposely hide our mini courses as they are reserved for the members of our Champions Sports Nutrition Coaching Program. So take advantage of our gift right now. It's priced at only $11 to make sure you get this valuable tool for like a fraction of the price of a private professional session. Again, that's et4p.com/gelatin-course. And there we are going to walk you through how you can use this product that we often see in Jell-O for your benefit in injury prevention and even injury recovery. And yoga, of course, is going to be a part of that. It's part of the functional training piece that we talk about within that course. So let's hear about yoga. Julie has a lot to say that you're going to find very interesting. Here we go.
So I'd love to introduce you to everyone through your words. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey there. It's Julie from Yoga for Hockey.
Yay. And that is the topic of the day, right? We're talking about yoga today. And I want to first introduce you to our listeners because your background is important here and the life you have going on. So tell me a little bit about, you know, life in Vienna, right? You're in Vienna.
Yes, I'm in Vienna.
And we want to know about hockey life is like there and why you got turned towards specifically the hockey community and where your fascination with yoga came from.
Well, I think my fascination with yoga started when I actually myself had an accident. I had a horseback riding accident. And a lot of people, PTs and medical doctors, they recommended yoga to me. And I tried a lot of different styles of yoga, but it wasn't really a good fit. So I think that's where I started to dig deeper. And then I did a teacher training pretty fast. And I was lucky because back then the studios were still looking for yoga teachers. So right now it's a bit more difficult, I think, to get into the teaching game. And so I started teaching early on, and I had a specific topic at my teacher training. Like, each one of us had to choose one specific topic that we were kind of graduate in. And my specific topic back then was already yoga for hockey players, because I have four younger brothers who play hockey. And I just saw the benefits of the practice that it did for me. And I wasn't playing hockey at the time. And I just thought, man, it would be so great if my brothers could benefit from this practice. And so, yeah, that's how I got to combine these two topics. And yeah.
Well, okay, so take me back just a second to that horseback riding accident. Was horseback riding your passion sport?
I think I was really, really interested in it. I was always a little bit scared that an accident was gonna happen. I think that's what kept me from going, like, to dig really deep into the topic. And it was actually just the accident was just a stupid mistake, I guess, because the horse slipped and we both fell. And I was lucky enough to pull my leg out of under the horse, so I didn't break anything. I just had like a traumatic injuries on my shoulders and my hips. So anytime I would be in a car and someone would hit the brakes really hard, my shoulder and my right hip, they would immediately cramp again because they were so traumatized from the accident.
So does that accident and experience of going through the pain of that, does that inform how you teach yoga to athletes?
I think so, yes, because I know what it is like to deal with chronic pain. And I think it's also what really shaped me teaching yoga was not being able to have your full range of motion. And that's what I see in my work with athletes a lot. Depending on what kind of sports they do, they will be tight in certain areas. So we will have to modify the practice a lot and modify the poses a lot. And there are a lot of poses, like I always say this on my Instagram, I don't teach seated yoga poses, for instance, because just most people, and especially people who play high impact sports like hockey players, are just not ready to do them. So we're not going to do them because it's not helpful. So I think yes.
So that's an interesting one. You don't teach seated yoga poses. This begs the question, what's a seated yoga pose, first of all? Because I know there are people listening that have never... They may have an idea of what yoga is, but probably have no idea. And would you talk a bit about what is yoga? Like, are there different kinds of yoga? Like, what is this whole world of yoga that we just maybe don't, someone who's looking on the outside needs a little bit more of a guide into that world?
Well, I think that is a really huge question. And you could probably just fill a whole podcast episode just with this question. But yoga is basically an ancient movement practice that was designed to find kind of peace of mind when you were, after you practice the different postures that we practice still in yoga today, you should find peace in a sitting posture. And I think that's very important to know, because a lot of yoga is marketed as an anti-injury practice or recovery practice. And then we have to take a very close look at what is being taught, because the ancient yoga, and then also how it got taught in the West a lot, it's not necessarily an anti-injury or recovery program. And that's where I would be very picky in
in selecting a person who teaches yoga if you are an athlete, because you will want those two things integrated in your yoga practice. So I think people who practice yoga and then they also have a lot of knowledge about, I don't know, myofascial release systems, for instance, or functional range conditioning, these are the people you want to look out for, because they are going to have a very thorough understanding of how the body works, also how you can recover the body from injury, and how you can prepare the body for instance, like we have it in hockey, for very rough games.
Right. And so the understanding is different than classical or an ancient yoga. And there's two things you said integrated. Do you want to just recap what those two things are?
The two things that are integrated, you mean the...
You said that like they're, as you're going through, you're like integrate those two things and that's who you're looking for.
Yeah. So I would look for a specific yoga teacher in my area, because I want to practice with someone personally. I would look for someone who understands the body well enough so the person can help you recover from injury through yoga, and they can also help you create more stability and mobility at the same time to kind of create anti-injury strength in your body.
So that they understand your body and then they understand how to help in like you're saying the myofascial release or the creating of stability?
Oh, you mean that. So I would look for people, generally people who have backgrounds not only in yoga but also in myofascial relief or functional range conditioning and kin stretch. Those three extra certificates would be very good indicators that the people have a more thorough understanding of the body and are not just normal, your standard yoga teacher.
Understood. So really your yoga training combined with an extra certification. It's the same approach that what we do with nutrition, by the way. So that's like where we talk about the dietitian profession, where you have basic nutrition understanding. And then on top of that, you go do like master's degrees in sports nutrition to specialize in those specific areas. When someone is running a marathon, it's a very different approach than when someone is going for a 5-kilometer jog. So it's these, you want to have the specialization. I get that. So let's say we do find somebody like yourself that I, can you tell me, so what is that extra background in myofascial release? Like, what did that look like for you to go get that extra certification or training?
What I was lucky enough to, pretty soon into my yoga practice, I found someone who was a rolfer, and that's a special type of myofascial release, I would call it, or of manual therapy. And I was greatly influenced because you have like 10 sessions if you do rolfing, where you get manual therapy done. And I got it done, and that was actually one of the best things to help me recover from my horseback riding accident. And then afterwards, I did also training sessions in rolfing. It's also sometimes called structural integration. And it really taught me how to, when I'm working with one single person, so not in a group setting, it taught me to visually diagnose people. So I will have people standing in front of me, they walk and I can see what patterns they have, how do they compensate in their body, because how we compensate in when we're standing or when we're walking is likely how we're going to compensate in the yoga postures. And it's something that we want to work around with when we do yoga, because we don't want to bring our habitual patterns into yoga. That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. So the goal with the yoga session is to kind of come out of that, like if you have an imbalance in like how you walk.
Yeah, I don't know, if you always tilt your hip in some weird way and it's influencing how you're skating, then you don't want to go to yoga and do the same tilt in your hip in every single pose again. You want someone who has a very thorough understanding. So if they're going to look at you, they can tell you hey, you're doing the thing again. Can you try to move differently this time? Because that way you're building the neuronal pathways that are going to help you change something in your skating too, not just in your yoga practice.
Okay. So we're getting to the point where like that we can be finding the right person, but to roll it back even a second before that is, how do we know if yoga is what we should be doing as an athlete? Like, do you believe everybody should be doing yoga, and or is there a certain type of athlete? Like, when it, what is the benefit, and who should be really considering yoga for hockey or for any sport?
I think because my view on yoga is so specific, I don't think that necessarily everyone should be doing classical yoga, but I think every athlete should be doing mobility work. So it doesn't have to be yoga. It could also be just really putting your joints through their whole range of motion every day. And if you do that, you don't necessarily need to do yoga. What I find so interesting about yoga for athletes is that the whole body-mind connection really gets so much stronger, and you learn how to control your thoughts, you learn how to control your breathing. So there are certain aspects that you're going to get from a yoga practice that you are not going to get from a mobility practice.
So in short answer, it should be for every athlete.
It should be, but I don't want to push too hard. Let's put it that way. I think it's great if people are interested in yoga, but if it's still a little bit too, I don't know, some people are kind of afraid to come to yoga because they think we're going to do a lot of weird stuff there. So if you want to start out with just mobility work, I think you're good to go. And then you can always come back to yoga later once you feel comfortable working mm-hmm. with your body in that way.
I love that you bring in the mind-body connection, because that is something that I've explored in a big way this year with my yoga practice. I never did yoga before. I understood from a very young age. My mom was a yoga teacher growing up. Like, she had at times small groups that she was teaching, and always did yoga, and I never did it. I was a hockey player my whole life, and I just looked at it as like, I'm too stiff, not flexible enough. I can't do those poses. And she wasn't teaching me. She wasn't my teacher, but I, you know, was influenced by her. And so I wonder if I didn't limit myself, you know, limit, like you said, like the range of motion, the skating stride, like everything that could have made me a better athlete, power. And then of course the mind body connection, like at the times that I derailed mentally as an athlete, maybe that would have been a good source of support for me.
I think so. I think it's actually the one factor that separates a good athlete from a really great athlete. It's how you, if your thoughts are going to control you or not. And I think that's something that you really can establish with a mindfulness practice. And all the better if it is like an experience that you have in your body too. Because I think there's one thing of talking in theory about mindfulness concepts, and there, it's one thing to have a meditation practice, which is also beneficial. But then it's really interesting in yoga if you're putting your body in a difficult pose or just something that's exhausting to you at the time. But you focus on your breathing and you focus on your mental attitude. And I think that's going to really be helpful when you're in the rink.
I can imagine the person listening to this who does not care about yoga and has made it this far. So you care a little bit. And if you're listening to this and you're not sure that you would ever start yoga, or, you know, if you're the parent and your child's listening to, not listening to this, but you're listening to this and going, well, I think my kid should do yoga, but I don't know how to convince them. That alone is mindset work, I think, right? Like if you,
yeah.
So do you think that like part of like actually as an athlete, embracing that a yoga practice could be a game changer for them is like where the mindset work could begin? Like, how do we get from like zero interest? This is not too new for me. It's not mainstream enough, even though there are NHL clubs that are routinely doing yoga right now as a team. but you know, some people still feel it's not mainstream enough in sports. So how do you get past that barrier? Like, oh, the parent may think it's great for the child, but the child may not be there.
Different approaches for different people. So I think you're gonna have to figure out what's the problem, what's keeping me back. Some people do not like to go to group classes, and that's fine, and you can just book a private lesson. Some people do not want to work with someone one-on-one yet, then you could just try a video at home. So I think it's just about finding the approach that's going to make you at least a little bit excited to try it. And then don't start with the, I think what often happens when we try to develop a new habit is that we set the bar too high, especially if we are competitive people, which a lot of people who play sports naturally are. So I think it's important, if you try it at first, make it a goal to go on your yoga mat for 5 minutes every day, and then try to stick to those 5 minutes every day. And then once you have kind of a routine with going 5 minutes onto your yoga mat, then we can expand from there. And I think that is a better and more sustainable approach than trying to start a 90-minute yoga practice every day and do breathwork and meditation, and then you're going to keep with it for, like, I don't know, 5 days, and then you're going to be so tired and exhausted of it, and you're going to be like, okay, this is not for me. So I think it's finding your approach and baby steps.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's like something if you're used to being really competitive, you're going to disengage if you feel like it's not getting you results right away, or it's feeling out of your comfort zone, especially if you can go right away to your sport, which you feel really comfortable doing, and you can do 20 more. If you're a hockey player, you can do 20 more slap shots instead of 5 minutes of yoga. You might feel like the slap shots would get you bigger benefit, but in reality, what we're saying is this actually is the bigger benefit.
Yeah, I think it oftentimes it helps to, when you first start out, work on something that's really important to you. So I don't know, sometimes if your hip is bothering you, that could be a really good entrance path into doing a little bit of mobility work, or a little bit of yoga, like 5 minutes, because you're going to see results really fast. So I think it's really important to know why you're doing it. And if you have like a specific topic, then it's often easier to stick to it because you already know why you're doing it.
What are some ideas of why people would do it?
What are some ideas? Well, I think mobility is a big topic because, I don't know, it will make you a faster skater. It will make your stride length longer, I guess. It will make the tiny inch in the stick handling, you will reach a little bit longer if you are good with balance, if you're good with mobility. So I think it's a physical aspect, but there's also, like we discussed before, the mental aspect. And I think oftentimes for younger athletes, it will be the physical topic. And then as people hit their 20s or 25, it will be a lot about the mental aspect too, because that's really when it gets really competitive, and when you need to be really solid and you need to be resting within yourself so nothing will disturb your peace of mind. And I think that's another huge reason why people come to this practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like those two, like the physicality and the mindset work. And so if you come into it in the practice in the beginning, it could be very physical. And that makes sense, where you're trying it first, like how does my body feel in this position? And then you might become until you get into probably a pose where it's painful, and what comes up for you, and mental talk, where you're being brought into awareness about it. Definitely, like, obviously you can hear I'm a big fan of the practice. I get the importance. For me, it's just like, you know, let's convince other people in the sporting world that there is a big key piece that's sitting right here for you to take, and that someone like yourself, Julie, is offering the game plan to that. So I'm so glad that you came on the podcast, told people about this important piece that they could be exploring today. And I know that there's so much more that you could talk about. Like you said, there's like, you know, podcasts of, you know, what yoga is, how you do it, how you can integrate it into your life. But I think this gives a good overview for people. Would you share with us a bit about, you know, anything, any words of wisdom that you have for sports moms and parents and dads too, because I have, you know, dads listening as well, as they approach finding the right person or finding yourself? If you want to, you can talk about where people can find you and get some at least starter information to get going.
Well, I think if we're talking about kids yoga, and I taught kids yoga for some time, it's important that you find a person that is that has a really positive mindset, because you with kids, they're still doing so much right within their body, and you don't want to correct them right away, because I think it will turn them off. It will be like, okay, this is no fun, I'm no good at it. So you try to find someone who's really encouraging and who makes the yoga lessons really playful and fun. When I taught kids yoga, I always integrated songs that the kids liked, stuff like that. So I really try to make it feel not like a chore to them, but a bit like, hey, this is time for yourself. This is time to figure out what feels good. So maybe try to find someone who's really, focused on the kids, I guess, and focused on the kids' needs.
And then where could people find you and get a bit? I know you put out information for people to grab for free, and also you have some nice services, I know, locally, but do you offer anything that somebody from North America could follow along with?
Yeah, I have my Instagram page, which is called Yoga for Hockey. The four is like number four. And I want to start an email list, so that's going to happen soon. And I'm also planning an online course where I want to do a bit of mobility work, but also a bit of yoga. So I think if you follow me on Instagram, you will hear about all the things, and you will be the first one to sign up for those things if you want to.
Amazing. So yeah, well, I would encourage everyone to follow along. And if you're going to create an online course, that means everyone around the world can take it. So that's amazing. That's what I love about the online course idea, where you can be, we can be getting these amazing talents really so easily into our homes. So it was really a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us and sharing your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Super Sports Mom podcast this time. My wish is that you feel more empowered than ever to live your dream sports life. If you get inspired from this message, amazing. Share it with a friend and pass that inspiration along. I can't wait to share the next adventure with you. See you next time.
Hey, does getting the right food in front of you at the right time seem a little daunting sometimes? Well, a lot of times. You're not alone, and that is why here at Eat This for Performance, we are making people's lives easier by taking out all of the guesswork from performance eating for all of the situations you may be in. Eating out, eating in, at the grocery store, or just looking at that food down on your plate, wondering if that is the right thing to be eating. So we have something that we'd like to give you. That is our performance eating foods list. If you hop on over to et4p.com, you can grab our food list and start going right away at eating the performance foods that you want to eat. Once you have the food list, you'll be well on your way to digging into our four-part framework and really starting to become a confident athlete or a confident parent in your food selections. So have a look and definitely reach out to us if you have any questions whatsoever. We're here cheering you on as you eat for that top performance in sport and in life.